You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Atlanta Braves with MLB.com's Braves beat reporter Mark Bowman. Mark, Hector Oliveira is here. I'm not physically here in the west side of Athens, but he has arrived. What should we expect from him as a player for these first few weeks in the big leagues?
You know, it's amazing how different the Braves' tone changed from the time of the trade until after they had a chance to take a look at him while he was rehabbing. And I bet, and basically it went from here's a guy who can be a solid, make an immediate impact in the middle of the lineup to, hey, it may not happen this year. He's had these hamstring injuries. We need to get him slowly adjusted to the major league level. So I've got a feeling that in a few weeks from now we're going to talk and we're going to say, well, you know, we saw this from Oliveira, we saw that, but we didn't see exactly what the Braves were touting yet as this impact guy that would give you some indication as to why they were willing to give up Jose Peraza and Alex Wood in the deal for him. So, you know, the hamstring injury may have played a part, set him back, got him out of playing shape. Here's a guy who's basically played about, we're talking maybe 22, 23 games above the A-ball level here in the U.S. So, yeah, maybe the wise thing is just to be patient and we'll get a better sense of what to expect from him in spring training early next year. But, I guess the good thing is they're going to go ahead and get him out there in the lineup on a regular basis here over the final few weeks and at least introduce him to what to expect next year.
Yeah, is the feeling that regardless of performance, this guy just needs reps, he needs at bats, and they're just going to get it to him?
I'm going to have to think that. You know, there are too many smart people in this game to think that. The Dodgers were willing to pay $62.5 million for him, and I realize someone will come back and say, well, the Dodgers don't care about money. Well, you know, I'm going to trust the Braves as well, as you're not going to give up a controllable, proven pitcher at the major league level, plus your top prospect for this guy, unless you felt good about what you saw. And the Braves saw him quite often during this winter. Gordon Blakely was down there three or four times. Freddie Gonzalez saw him twice. You know, they believe in this guy. The thing that is a little bit disturbing is, you know, we're hearing that he may not have been in the best shape here the last few weeks while he's going through his rehab. And whether that's just baseball shape, having sat out more than a month with the hamstring, that may be the case. But until this past weekend, he hadn't had an extra base hit. He had one double in each of the last three games he played for Gwinnett. So it's going to be interesting to see where this pop is and how long it takes to materialize here at the big league level.
What are you expecting to see defensively?
You know, I wish I could say I've heard good reviews about that so far as well. But from the guy that they touted, they said he was a solid defender. They didn't call him Gold Glove or anything like that. I mean, they're not going that far, but just a guy who could field the position well. You know, we heard a lot of negative things about Adonis Garcia. Now, he had a three-error game last week, but for the most part, he has handled that third base position as well as anybody, minus Juan Uribe this year. So I think that you're going to get a guy who can't handle the position. What I hear over the last few weeks is he's been a little bit slow to react to balls. The range hasn't shown to be all that impressive, but hey, maybe when he gets here to the big leagues, there'll be a little bit more motivation. You know, you don't want to judge everything on rehab results, because you just don't know how motivated a guy is. And whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, that is the case with some guys.
Is there anybody else you have a particular eye on that you're eager to see among this week's call-ups?
You know, they got a reliever from the Yankees recently, Danny Burrow. We have not seen him at all. He's put up some decent numbers with Gwinnett. Obviously, if he pitches pitches effectively here in the first few outings that he throws for Atlanta, I think he could fit into some of those late inning roles. I mean, do you think about it? Here recently, they had a one run lead against the Marlins, and they go ahead and go with Matt Marksberry. And it's not the first time they put him in a high leverage situation. We're going to see some bullpen additions. Brandon Kniff, who has pitched effectively at times with Atlanta this year, he'll be one to look at. I want to see what Manny Bamuelos does here. They're not going to be able to let him go ahead and make a full start probably before the end of the month, but he'll be able to log some innings coming back from the elbow. He had a bone chip in his elbow that sidelined him at the end of July. He's a guy that I really think can be in that rotation next year. But if I'm looking forward, I'm looking, and I'm going to take the assumption that Julio Teheran stays. Now I'm going to go with Shelby Miller, Julio Teheran. I'm thinking Mike Foltynewicz makes the strides necessary to be there. Manny Bamuelos and then Matt Whistler. And I'm not putting those last three in any particular order. But I do think that all three of those guys could be in that rotation next year.
It's something I wanted to ask you about that we kind of brushed up against last week, but didn't really go in any depth. Talk to some. Just about specifically about the starters and sort of the help or lack of help they get from the bullpen and how that affects them in development. But I kind of wanted to go into a little more of that from a broader perspective, because there were a lot of good feelings about this team maybe a month ago. I don't know exactly, month, 6 weeks ago. You know, there was this notion that despite being a team that was being rejiggered on the fly, that was being, they probably don't like the word rebuilt, but despite the fact that they were really retooling for a future year, they were winning some games. They were competitive. They were on the fringes of the wild card race. And now, as we enter September, you can't say any of that. They are trying to stay out of last place. It has been a really rough stretch here. And so I wonder, to what extent is that a concern? It's kind of the same question as last week. To what extent is that a concern from the manager, for the front office, the worry about going into the off season and building towards next year, coming off a bad feeling, if they were to lose 95 games instead of the 80-85 that it looked like for a while?
I think it is a definite concern within the front office. You know, I can see in John Hart's face and in his words, and you know, he talks about, here's a guy who you know led teams to the World Series and you know had many teams to the playoffs in the past, and he talks about how that first half, you know, you go up until about July 8th when the team was 500, 42-42, and he's talked about how much fun that is. Hey, look, being 500 is not fun, but for that team to have been 500, you know, less than a week before the All-Star break, it was a lot of fun. And obviously, everything changed there in Colorado when they lost Jason Grilley. Then that, you know, whether or not they were, you know, I'm assuming they were going to trade Grilley anyhow, probably Jim Johnson. It was probably inevitable that we were going to see this bullpen start to, you know, fall apart. And that's when you look back at the bullpen, it's been an influx throughout the year, but you did have at least Luis Avalon, Jim Johnson, and Jason Grilley. You know, once they were all gone, you know, we have seen how it doesn't matter what the lead is, or you don't have a bullpen that's at least able to keep things close that maybe your offense can create a comeback win. Obviously, they're dealing with so many young starters. They have to continue to let these players know, hey, you know, we're retooling. Yes, we understand we're not going to make the playoffs, but they've got to try to develop that winning mindset. And I touched on that a little bit last week, where I think they're going to try to have John Smoltz and Tom Glavin, guys that went through the 1988, 89, 90 seasons, and talk to these guys about, hey, look, yes, you are in a developmental stage. You have the benefit of developing here without the pressure of a playoff race, but you have to stick with that. You know, it's not okay to lose. You know, they would love to go through September playing, you know, quote unquote, a spoiler role. You know, whether they're capable of doing so, that they have got to develop that mindset that, hey, that this is our mission. We can go ahead and brew in some October plans for some teams just to keep yourself motivated.
right. Well, Mark Bowman, thanks for taking the time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.